It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, Padres, as we mentioned, made a move yesterday before the game, sending Matt Waldron down to AAA. We had an interesting conversation about that on the roundtable yesterday, and Craig Elston made the point, I don't know that, you know, El Paso is a great place to figure yourself out when things are going poorly. I think he went as far as to say, you send him down to AAA and make him throw in the Pacific Coast League, he's not coming back this year. But that apparently is the plan, and the Padres are hoping that he can figure something out and, you know, iron stuff out, because I would imagine they'd love to have Matt Waldron back at some point, pitching the way Matt Waldron was earlier in the season. But he has not been pitching that way over the last, really, 5 to 8 starts, and the Padres decided they could not wait anymore for Matt to figure it out on the big league level, and sent him down to AAA. Now, obviously, they called up Logan Gillespie. He's not going to be the guy who starts on Monday, so we don't know who is going to be that fifth starter now for the San Diego Padres, but, you know, the same options that were there before are sitting there now for the team. Who are they, Woods?
Well, quickly, they did say about Waldron, Kevin Acey had it in his newsletter this morning. He says Waldron won't be pitching in El Paso in 5 days. He might not even go to El Paso right away.
Okay.
He could go to the team's complex in Arizona to get some throwing in. Could be, you know, a bit of a, you know, just dead arm fatigue. It's the most innings he's ever thrown. And, man, he threw some really, really high-stress innings for this team and really did a great job for this team at a time. And like I said yesterday, man, sometimes a rest, a mental reset is exactly what you need. I feel bad for him. I mean, he's a rookie. He was in the thick of it, you know, and nobody – I got this mental image yesterday of him having to go and pack up his locker when he's been such a valuable part of this team. And it's not like one of those guys like, hey, man, this is just a roster crunch thing and we're just maneuvering some things. This is – no, I haven't been getting the job done. When I was getting the job done, I got to pack my stuff. See you, fellas. I mean, it just broke my heart. It broke my heart yesterday when I thought about it, because he pitched some huge, huge games and got some big dubs for this team.
Mike Shildt acknowledged, and Paulie, do we have any of the sound of Mike Shildt talking about Matt Waldron?
Post-game?
Yeah, after the game yesterday. So Mike Shildt acknowledged that they have worked him hard as a rookie, and how important he has been to the success of the team.
Yeah, we're still figuring out what that plan looks like. You know, the biggest thing, didn't get a chance to comment on it before the game, but it's just a reset for Matt. I mean, we're in the position we're in for a lot of reasons, a lot of guys, a lot of contributions. But I got to tell you, Matt Waldron's been a huge part of our ability to be where we are. You know, we've talked and, you know, we know that guys are going through this, you know, his first time. Michael's going through it as a starter, but Michael kind of got a reset button, used the All-Star break to get him some extra days. Also, we, you know, unfortunately took the comebacker in Baltimore, but it gave him another, you know, 10 days or so. You know, Dylan got a little bit of a break over the All-Star break, as he should have gotten. The rain out in Pittsburgh created a little bit of a breather for him. Matt Waldron hadn't had that, man. He's taken the ball. He's been on pretty much regular rest or getting an extra day here or there. Even after the All-Star break, he only got an extra day. He allowed Dylan to get one more, which allowed him to get 2 extra days. So, you know, he's been carrying the mail for us and done a really good job, big part of what we're doing, how we're doing it. Just looked up and realized, you know what, we need to take a reset, you know, for him to be able to go and work on a few things and, you know, regroup a little bit and be ready to come back.
That's a really fair observation.
Sure.
Every pitcher got a nice break at the All-Star break, extra days, except for Matt Waldron, who pitched the weekend going into the All-Star break and then pitched, you know, right coming out of the All-Star break. So guys like Michael King and Dylan Cease could get a little more rest to their arms. And this guy who's still technically, you know, a rookie and has not been built up like, you know, thrown 200 innings or anything like that in his career, has been taxed by the Padres. And while he throws that knuckleball that may make it a little more easy for him to go deeper into games, that's still a lot of mileage on his arm. And he throws the, you know, other pitches more than half the time, even when he's using the knuckleball a lot. So I think this is a case of hitting a wall, a bit of fatigue, maybe some rest. You know, they're not going to overthrow him. Whatever they put him, Arizona, AAA, he's not going to be overthrown. He's going to get a chance to really rest his arm probably for at least a couple of weeks, see where he is, and then hopefully he can come back and contribute for the Padres. But leaves them with, again, the question of what to do starting on Monday when his turn in the rotation comes up. And talk about that here for a couple of minutes. If you want to call in to get in line to be contested on Take on Woods, you can while we talk about it. 833-288-0973. Our lines are open right now, so jump in for your chance to play against Woods in our musical trivia game. Win a trip to Las Vegas coming up here. But so I think the likeliest scenario, would you agree, Woods, is Randy Vasquez returning?
Yep.
If this was, let's say, a playoff game, though, wouldn't you say that the way the Padres would have the best chance to win would be to go with a bullpen day?
Yes.
Maybe like a Brian Hoeing,
yeah,
and Reynolds together,
yeah,
you know, to try to cover five or six innings and get to the back end of the bullpen.
Sure.
But that's not necessarily a great strategy when you're in the middle of 18 games in 18 days. You are... Those bullpen innings are precious. There's no reset day coming up. I don't know that the Padres can afford to do that. They need someone who can put a little length to the start.
And you probably will see that in the playoffs, by the way.
Oh,
if it gets to a seven-game series, you know, it's short of Darvish returning and being ready to go, and you can go Darvish, Cease, Musgrove, King, you're probably going to see a bullpen. And I... By the way, I have no problem with that.
Of course. Randy Vasquez isn't starting a playoff game. I don't even know that Matt Waldron would be starting a playoff game.
I don't think so.
It's Cease, King, Musgrove, probably bullpen day. With all the resets and extra days off during the postseason, at this point, if Yu Darvish is not back, that's my four-man playoff rotation.
Yeah.
Cease, King, Musgrove, bullpen day.
Yeah.
And I think that's the smartest strategy. In the playoffs, when you have days off,
you can't manage these.
Now,
like
though,
that.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
You have to.
I know fans will be up. You're in a pennant race. How can you punt by putting Randy Vasquez or Johnny Brito or calling up a rookie like Omar Cruz, not knowing what you're going to get? Because that's how you have to manage a long season. Even late in a long season, if you try to throw everything to win one game on a Monday in August, you may cost yourself multiple games over the next week because of an overtaxed bullpen that no longer can be effective. So that's what I'm expecting on Monday. That's probably the right thing to do if you're the San Diego Padres. Question is, can they get an effective start out of someone like Randy Vasquez, who has been struggling at AAA? A lot of guys do in El Paso, but certainly hasn't been giving anyone a lot of confidence that he's going to come in and, you know, shut down a team for six innings.
Well, at the end of the day, though, I mean, think about this, Benny, with the way that it's set up right now with your lead and what you've been able to do and the other guys, the Kings, the Ceases, the Musgroves, the starts you've been getting for the, if Randy Vasquez comes up, Ben, he doesn't, and goes five innings or six innings, okay? Like, really the results, I don't want to say they don't matter, but they, just come up and give us five, six innings. Do what you got to do. If you give up four or five runs, okay.
Sometimes you have to win games with your offense.
100%.
You can't win every game by having your pitcher go six or seven and limiting the other team to one or two runs.
Exactly right. And
you have to win some games with offense.
I see this all the time. Of like, man, why this is a pennant race? Why was Waldron left in? Well, Waldron was left in because it's a pennant race. Because you're not going to go to Tanner Scott in the third inning. Because you're in a pennant race, right? Like, think it through. There's so many bullets available. Those are your best bullets. You don't waste them when you're down 5-1. You just don't. They may be your best pitcher.
And maybe you don't waste them when you're down 3-1, even in the ninth inning.
And I think that's kind of where it falls last night. So, yes, they need to win the games, of course. But it almost is like you're flipping a coin. Did we get a good start? Did we get a good, solid five innings from our guys? We did, and we're still in the ballgame? Great. Now we can deploy it.
What blows my mind, if you're going to criticize Mike Shildt for anything, he's overly aggressive in protecting like leads with his back end of the bullpen.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Doesn't matter. Four-nothing, we're going with Robert Suarez, we're going with four-out saves. He's been very aggressive using his top relievers. So if he says, this is not a great place to use one of my top relievers down two, I'm going to trust him on that judgment.
I am too.
He always errs on the side of going to the win, being aggressive with his bullpen. That's what we've seen all season long.
And you know, if it's flipped and we're leading by two or whatever, like, or four or five, if we're leading by four runs tonight,
you'll see Adam, Scott, and Suarez.
If we're leading
five runs, you'll probably see them.
You're getting the ass.
He will
tonight.
Aggressively go after that win.
Having guys that can wear it and go out and give you 5-6 innings is imperative. It's imperative because that's why he didn't yank Waldron in the third inning the other night and go with Hoeing. That's why he didn't yank Waldron the other night in the third inning and go with, you know, any of the other guys and say, well, I know we can claw back into this game. No, it's a punt. He'll never say it.
Now it's a playoff game and you're down early.
Yes.
Yeah, you may go to those leverage arms very early in a game.
If it's two-thirds of an inning and he's giving up four runs, you're done. You're done. And then you got to figure it out. And those games are no fun either. But, it's a totally different game in October.
All right, we will talk with Mike Shildt coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. That's a ways off, though, on a Friar Friday. Right now, it's time to play a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on
Woods.
Take on
Woods.
All right, let's... Lance, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. You are a contestant today for Take on Woods. It is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. If you can beat or tie Woods in our musical trivia five-question challenge, you will qualify for our grand prize drawing. It is a two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas, which is terrific. I was there earlier this year. Two tickets to Carrie Underwood and her residency Reflection at Resorts World Theater. Get your own tickets now at AXS.com, Access.com, or RWLasVegas.com. Lance, you get to choose our category here. We still have that Sprechen Sie Deutsch category sitting there. Like, been there for 3 weeks, I think. Those are big-time bands that have made it big, but they are German-related. Sister Acts, five different bands with Sister in their name, and Genesis, all about the band Genesis. So, Sprechen Sie Deutsch, Sister Acts, or Genesis, Lance?
All right, this is going to be terrible, but I'm taking one for the team and taking off Sprechen Sie
Deutsch. Thank you so much.
My man. Finally. Okay, again. Five bands or artists made it big around the world, including here in the U.S., but they all have a German relation to them. I think this is doable. Yeah, it's not going to be the easiest one ever, but you might get Woods on it. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it at the end if there's time left on the clock. First question is the two-second song. Paul's going to play some music. You will recognize it. You just need to give me the title and the artist to score that point. Lance, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Finally, the category is Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Your time begins.
I got half of mine to give Lance an extra point.
I know. The judging will be very generous here. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Lance. Let's take on Woods.
Pass.
All right. Gabrielle Kerner is the real name of which artist best known for her 1983 German language hit 99 Luftballons, which she sang in English a year later?
Nina?
Correct. He's actually Austrian, but which artist had the only German language song ever to reach number one on the U.S. charts with his 1985 hit Rock Me Amadeus?
Pass.
He wasn't born in Germany, but which American actor with a German-sounding name has had multiple musical hits in that country, including his Looking for Freedom, which reached number one?
Pass.
Considering the leading band in New Deutsch Hart Movement, or New German Hardness, which group has hits including Engel, Du Hast, and Mein Tell?
Rammstein.
Correct! Let's go back to our two-second song.
Yep. I'm going to have to pass on the rest.
That one. Oh, you got two. You got two. That's solid.
We're okay. We're okay.
That is Winds of Change by the Scorpions, who are a German band, very popular here in the United States. You got Nina. Falco is Rock Me Amadeus. I can't believe you didn't get the Hoff. David Hasselhoff, who is unbelievably was one of the top German musical artists for a long time in like the 1980s and 90s. And you did get Rammstein, which is an old bit from our show from way back.
Rammstein.
But we've got Woods now gets his chance. Lance, stay on the line. I'm curious to see how Woods is going to do. I think he's going to get a couple of these, though. All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Lance.
Scorpions, Winds of Change.
Correct. Gabrielle Kerner is the real name of which artist, best known for her 1983 German language hit 99 Luftballons, which she sang in English a year later.
Nina Cherry?
Nina. He's actually Austrian, but which artist had the only German language song ever to reach number one on the U.S. charts with his 1985 hit Rock Me Amadeus?
Falco.
Correct. He wasn't born in Germany. Which American actor with a German-sounding name has had multiple musical hits in that country, including his Looking for Freedom?
Oh, David Hasselhoff.
Correct. Considered the leading band of the New Deutsche Hart Movement, or New German Hardness, which group has hits including Engel, Du Hast, and Mein Tell?
Rammstein.
Yeah, got you, Lance. Lance, thank you for finally picking that category. That category was called Sprechen Sie Deutsch, and it has been sitting in our three categories for the better part of a month, I would say.
How many did he get?
August. He got two.
Oh, I would have beat him anyway.
And you got him, even with the Nina. But, yeah, he got you, Lance, but thank you so much. He said, I'll take one for the team.
Look at him.
He actually took the category. So, you know what, Lance? Come back, call back another day. We'll get you a prize of some sort just for taking that category. I really appreciate it.
I'll be doing it.
Yeah, the Scorpions are German.
Oh, yeah.
Does everyone know that?
Yes.
They do know that.
Yeah, their singer's name is Klaus Mein. And their guitar player is...
a very German name.
...is Rudolf Schenker. They're phenomenal. I love the Scorpions. Listen to this. Down to Gorky Park. Not my favorite Scorpion song.
No.
But the whistle slays.
The one that I thought was most recognizable for a 2-second song. Though,
yeah, I mean, you could have done Rock Me Like a Hurricane, No One Like You, so many.
All right, Don't Do This is coming up next. Now, hey, it's a team's prerogative when they're not going well to change their manager. But
sure.
How that happens kind of makes a difference as well. We'll talk about the Scott Service story coming up next in Don't Do This. After a check of traffic, be right back. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Got to feel a little bad for Scott Service and how it all went down yesterday. It is time for Don't Do This. Woodsy, I'm sure you saw the story. There you are.
Yeah, of course.
No, it wants to. Our camera likes Ryan Cohen better than me.
We get it.
I know he's young and handsome. I'm not. Listen, Mariners decided to move on from Scott Service, which, again, as you mentioned, that is their prerogative to do. They had a 10-game lead at one point. It has dwindled. They don't have the lead anymore. They are not playing good baseball. The offense is not clicking at all. So always needs to be a fall guy. It's usually the manager, and Scott Service was scheduled to get the axe yesterday, but they had an off day, and he told his players, "Hey guys, this just clear your heads, get away from baseball," which is, you know, that's a very standard thing to do. Go do whatever it is you want to do. Don't worry about it. Come on back and let's recharge, and come on back and let's win some ball games. So he had a press conference that he was supposed to do, and as he got to the press conference, I believe this is the timeline. Somebody asked him. It had come out already. That
he found out on a Ken Rosenthal
tweet.
Sources report.
Two hours before the meeting.
The meeting with the general manager, Jerry DePoto, which is not a great way to be fired by finding out. Then that's on the Mariners.
That means, somebody told Ken Rosenthal.
Someone leaked it out before they let Scott Service know. And that's pretty rude. He had been around, I didn't realize this, 9 seasons with the Mariners. So not like a guy who's been managing for the last few months and now you let him go. He gave a decade of his life to the Seattle Mariners. And it's been there, going
as long
poorly.
As Bud Black's been in Colorado.
Yep.
And to find out just on a tweet, on a scroll somewhere, that you've been fired is a tough way to go out.
Yeah, man, it's not a good look. And he put out a really, really classy statement. He mentioned pretty much everyone in the organization but Jerry DePoto. I mean, he literally mentioned ownership, mentioned the fans, mentioned the players, of course. Did not mention
DePoto sucks.
Yeah,
man.
He's tough, dude. DePoto is a really, really tough one.
I haven't followed that team much since I moved down here in 2009, but I grew up watching the Mariners, and it's just been a pretty tumultuous organization top to bottom. For as long as I've been around, since 1990, their ownership, just in it for the money. Like, they could not care less about the product on the field. The GM has been horrible. I mean, what was the quote that he had? Like, was it last year?
He said,
"We're just trying to win
55%
and then we're doing the fans a favor." It's like, he's just real. He's just not a good people person, as it turns out. And yeah, man, to find out that you're fired before you sit down with your boss to actually get fired, that's a rough one.
All right, I don't ever want to be accused of playing favorites on this show. If you make it to do this, you've deserved it, even if we like you, even if we've had you on the show before, which we have, but had to report this week, San Diego Seals star forward Austin Stotts was arrested back in his hometown in Canada, according to a news report from the Turtle Island News. Stotts was arrested August 11th on 3 counts of assault, 3 counts of assault with choking, and 2 counts of threatening death or bodily harm. Details of the arrest not immediately known. Apparently it occurred earlier this month in Brantford, Ontario. The NLL says they're aware of the reported charges against Austin Stotts. They're collecting more information. The Seals have tweeted out that they recognize the serious nature of the charges, taking it very seriously, but they're going to let the authorities complete their investigation. We will not have any comment at this time. You are a San Diego Seal. Do you have any comment at this time, Woods?
Yeah, I'm incredibly disappointed. Incredibly disappointed in Austin and his behavior, and it's been something that's been building for a while. He's a
young guy. He's a very young guy.
He's young. He's extremely emotional. He needs a lot of help. He needs a lot of help. He's already suspended. He was already suspended before the ball.
Yeah, I hadn't realized this. So the last playoff game,
we were getting
went off on someone right at the end of the game when they lost.
We knew we were losing, and he went up and he did a check to this guy's face and knocked him out cold. I mean, and it was just completely unnecessary. He's an emotional guy. I know Austin very well. I took Austin to his very first baseball game ever at Petco Park, and it really broke my heart to see this. And you know, I. For him, I'm not really worried about his lacrosse career with the Seals. I'm worried about him as a human. I know him. I know his brother. I met his mom. Like, I know the life that he's had. I know the background in which he came up, and it was not a good one at all. And I just want him to get the help emotionally that he needs, because he needs it. And I do love the kid, but yeah, there's no excuse for any of this that happens. So
tough. You know, it's, again, like you just said, you're not making an excuse.
No,
but you see it when people, young adults, are a
product
of their upbringing.
It feels very much like an impulse control.
He has that problem, man. Yeah. And I just, you know, there's some of that in when you watch him play, and you're like, he just It makes you a little uneasy, you know, and it's like he's so fiery. He's so emotional and obviously is having a hard time controlling that emotion, dude. So I hope the best for him. I don't know if he's going to be back in the in a SEALs uniform again. Maybe that's the best thing for him, but he definitely needs some help. I hope the league and the team stands behind him and at least gets him the help that he needs. Again, not to welcome him back, you know, to go play forward for the SEALs, but just to be a productive member of society, because I know the kid, and this was a hard one for me, man. I hated this.
Woods, that was extremely well said. One of the things I like the best about you, you're not afraid to take and assign responsibility, but you also have empathy and understanding at the same time, and you care about people, and I think that was well handled from someone inside the organization.
Thank you. I love him, and I hope the best for him. But you know, you gotta figure it out at some point. I feel the same about anybody. But this is speaking a beautiful message, Joey Votto.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
For Doo-Doo this today. They reporters circled around Joey yesterday, and he kind of explained why he decided to retire. And this is pretty good stuff.
There are some big moments in Buffalo that I heard groans after outs. When I was playing for Louisville last year, groans or dissatisfaction after outs in big situations. This game's faster. I'm not fast. This game is about more dynamic defense. The game has changed over the course of the back maybe quarter of my career. I'm slower. And the one thing that I could attempt to do is, you know, perform offensively. And I've been awful for, especially for my position. So at some point, the writing's on the wall, and I'm good. There's no chess in this game whatsoever. This is a, you know, heavyweight fight. This is a, I can't think of an analogy, but there's no tactics involved, limited tactics involved. And physical trumps everything. And yeah, physical is not there for me. I'm a big fan of the UFC, and I watch fighters that retire at the right time and stay too long. And I hear the commentary from the commentary crowd, and I just think, oh, I want to make sure I'm not. I retire at the right time. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I retired too late. But yeah, so. And this game's changed my life. I've become a man in this sport. I've built so many bonds, and my character's changed, and I'm just so thankful to have had the opportunity. I am so humbled by where this game has taken me. I've done my part, of course, but the majority of it has been, I've been carried by the sport, the fans, the staff, everyone involved. I've learned how to be a better person because of the media. Just so many different reasons, ways that the game has changed me as an individual.
I love that dude, man. And I, you know, if you want to talk about a guy that should be a talking head, or a, you know, you think about when you listen to a John Smoltz broadcast and how much he literally hates baseball. He just can't stand the way that baseball's played in the year 2024. Then you have Joey Votto. Take John Smoltz, let him go fish, hunt, do whatever he wants to do, put Joey Votto in. That's what this game needs. This game needs more Joey Vottos. And I love John Smoltz, the pitcher. Oh, my God, did I love John Smoltz, the pitcher. Absolutely incredible. But to turn on broadcast these days and hear, you know, back in my day, this new stuff sucks and blah, blah, blah. Joey Votto gets it. Joey Votto should be running baseball. Right? Like, he should be running baseball.
100%.
Well, what impressed me, and this applies to any field that you're in, Joey Votto clearly has a lot of self-awareness.
Yes.
But without it being crippling to himself. You know, he thinks a lot about, you know, his place in the game and where he was in the sport, and he made a very rational decision that it was time. You know, he could have tried to hang on for a little bit longer if he wanted, but he just realized, you know, that's probably not the best decision for me anymore.
Love
and
him,
he
man.
Decided to call it quits. And we'll see him in, 5 years or so in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown.
Love him.
That's Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, a little bit annoying at this point. Obviously, the LA Dodgers are getting healthier. And with that, they have to make a lot of these decisions on their roster. That
cold business, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough one. But that also means there are some players available from the Dodgers over the last few days at playoff contenders might be interested in. We'll talk about the move the Dodgers made yesterday and whether any Padres fans want to kick the tires.
When are we, what is Nate Eovaldi and Kirby Yates and all, what is that Rangers fire sale happening? Because I'd be interested in one of those estate sales from the Texas Rangers. I haven't heard anything about that since last week.
We'll get to that coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Ben Woods going until 10 o'clock today, and we'll turn things over to Annie and Elston, and they've got a big name coming up in their first hour. New San Diego Wave interim head coach Landon Donovan is going to be on with Annie and Elston at 10:30 today, and then this afternoon, Gwen and Chris on a Friar Friday. Jason Adam is going to join the program at 2:20, and of course, we've got the skipper, Mike Schilt, the manager's report, coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. Now, will we see any more moves by the San Diego Padres today? Pitching-wise or otherwise, talk about a name that is hitting the open market today after a move by the Dodgers. We'll do that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. What'd you say, heartless business sometimes?
Cold as ice, dude.
Yeah, the L.A. Dodgers, they've had some roster crunch decisions lately. Yeah. With all their injuries, they put some guys on the 60-day injured list, which means when they bring them back, they have to find a 40-man roster spot for them, which generally means someone has to be DFA'd. And it's led to some tougher, you know, they picked up Ahmed Rosario, and then they had to DFA him. Well, yesterday it was Jason Hayward's turn. And the reason why it's a tough business is that Jason Hayward's last at-bat was a go-ahead tie-breaking three-run home run on Tuesday against the Seattle Mariners.
Off Andres Munoz in the eighth inning. I mean,
Dave Roberts called it one of the, if not the best moment of the season for the LA Dodgers. And Jason Hayward's reward was your walking papers 2 days later. Ouch.
That is ice cold.
They were bringing back Chris Taylor, who has been activated and returned. What that means, though, is now Jason Hayward, who has not particularly had a great season, but, you know, is a veteran, experienced outfielder with pop, is now available on the waiver wire for teams to pick up. And almost certainly someone's going to pick him up, I would think, Woods. It's the prorated. I think he was making like 9, but that's down to, what, like 2 for the last month and a half of the season, if that. If you want to pick him up, someone's going to get him.
He's batting 208, OBP at 289, 393 slug.
Just hit a 3-run home run, though.
Well, I mean, right, but like, guys hit 3-run homers and doesn't. I mean, look, I don't want him here. I don't want Jason Hayward here. I mean, Fernando's supposed to be back. I'll roll with Peralta and Johnson.
Had this been a month and a half ago?
Potentially.
You might have thought about it as opposed to going with Bryce Johnson, so many times in the outfield at this point.
I think it was last Sunday that Kimmy got hurt, and we had just finished the Tier 1 game, and I looked at my phone. And I said, well, you got to get Ahmed Rosario. He'd be a nice little stopgap, and the Reds had already claimed him. So I'm imagining, I saw a lot of Braves fans online yesterday going, ooh, could we get the return of Jason Hayward? They've been decimated by injury as well. I don't know where he fits. I don't think necessarily he fits here.
Well, and David Peralta's been hot. I mean, even last night, another 2-for-3. Yep. He's got a 1,057 OPS over his last 14 games. So David Peralta is hitting like an all-star right now. You're not going to want to take him out of the lineup in favor of Jason Hayward. Yeah, so I just don't think it makes much sense right now for the Padres.
If you don't like David Peralta's range, you really don't want to see what Jason Hayward's range looks like. I'm literally looking. It's one.
It's A1. It's like the slider is one.
OA, outs above average, one.
Well, it's not negative, at least.
It's one.
One is not bad.
It's all like light blue. The whole thing is
the sliders.
All of his sliders
one
are blue.
He's in the one percentile. Okay, yeah, that's horrible.
What I mean. That's horrible. His arm strength is really good. Still has a cannon. Maybe he can pitch. But no, he's not somebody I think that the San Diego Padres need to invest in, which means they probably will by the end of the day, because I don't know anything and nobody does.
I doubt it. But I wouldn't be surprised if another team took a flyer.
Sure.
Maybe the Braves, like you said, on Jason Hayward for this last month plus of the season. If he is picked up, they have 7 days, I think, to claim him. If he is picked up before September 1st, he would be eligible for the postseason rosters. That is a deadline that is coming up.
What's the deadline?
September 1st. You got to be on the team before September, end of August, if you want to be eligible for a playoff team. Not that there's, you know, now that there's no non-waiver trade deadline, there's not generally a lot of players who are available, but we've seen, I mean, just this week, the Braves picked up Gio Urshela, and he's already, you know, playing for them with all the injuries. He would be eligible for the postseason for them. You know, anyone who picks up Jason Hayward, they'd be eligible. Who did the Reds? Reds got Rosario, right? They picked him up.
Picked
I mean,
up
I don't
Rosario.
Think they're going to the playoffs, but if they did, made a run, he would be eligible for them. So, you got this last week here. If there's any changes you want to make and you see someone out there that you want to grab that's just dangling around as a free agent at this point, this is your last chance to do so and have it impact your postseason roster.
Yeah, we were, you know, again, and we were told the last, I mean, Chris Young himself, I think, said it. Like, yeah, we're going to have to, you know, DFA some of these guys here pretty soon. And Nate Eovaldi was one of the rumored guys to be DFA'd, and Kirby Yates and David Robertson. I mean,
that would just be a money saving.
That's a money saving thing. But there are three arms right now that could help a contender. And you know, you think about a team like Baltimore that just is dying at the back end, searching desperately for outs. You think about the San Diego Padres who would absolutely use a starter like Nate Eovaldi in a heartbeat. I mean, and I don't know where they would fall on the order of picking, but I just don't think a Nate Eovaldi would fall to the San Diego Padres. So if they do end up doing that, somebody's going to
I saw somewhere, and I didn't realize this, because I knew it goes in reverse order of record.
Right.
So the better you are, the later you pick. But apparently if it's an American League DFA, it goes first through the American League, then through the National League. So someone like Eovaldi, the Padres would be near the back of the list, like 26th or something in terms of choices. With Hayward, they'll be a little higher on the list because it's National League. But again, I don't think there'd be any interest right now in adding him.
Good question by Tyler. He says, does that rule count towards Yu Darvish? Would he need to be reinstated before September to make our playoff roster? Really?
No. On the restricted list.
But he's
on the Padres. He's not on the Padres.
That's true. So
he's not on the 40-man.
So, he's not on the 40-man. You have to take him off the 40-man when he goes unrestricted?
I don't think he counts against the 40-man. There's like some gray area there. Maybe we can try to get
I don't see
clarification. I would imagine that whatever the rule is, the Padres will be aware of it,
and
they will respond accordingly. You know, they're not going to get caught off guard by that.
But like feasibly, if he, you know, because we know he's been throwing. We know that. We know he's been throwing here. We know he's local. If he said, could he be announced as the game one starter?
You know what I mean? There's a 50-50 chance that he could come back and pitch for the playoffs if you had to just make a move.
Like, yeah.
Fine by me.
Yeah, right. Like,
see you later, so and so.
Yeah, I don't know.
The prospect of a Yu Darvish, who's, by the way, extremely well rested heading into the postseason.
Yes.
Terrifying if it works out. Like, love the idea, but I don't know how that works.
Here it is. In a typical season, any player who's on the 40-man roster or 60-day injured list as of 11:59 on August 31st, is eligible for the postseason. Those that are on the restricted list at that point are also eligible if they haven't been suspended for PEDs during that season.
All right, so he would be eligible even if he's back in September. Anytime he comes back, he's a Padre, he'd be eligible for the postseason. Now, I think there is a question with Yu Darvish. And, you know, again, not going to speculate on why he's out or when he's going to come back. But at some point, you can't just say on September 28th, okay, you're back. He needs some ramp up. I mean, you need to be able to know that he's Yu Darvish when he comes back.
That guy's got like 15 years of ramp up.
He does.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't even think twice about it.
But this is an unusual situation, really without much precedent, in a guy who's getting healthier. I mean, he was hurt when he went on the restricted list.
But he's
getting healthier now. But where is he on that process? He's not meeting with trainers daily.
We don't know that.
The Padres, he can't. He's on the restricted list.
Right.
So
he can't do it.
He can't be.
He could be meeting with his own trainers.
I'm sure he is, you know, taking care of himself. But
he's not sitting at home playing college football.
But the Padres will need at least, what I'm saying is they're going to need at least some time to evaluate where Yu Darvish is back. When he says, I'm ready, take me off the restricted list.
Aren't there guys?
There's going to be some sort of physical, mental pitching evaluation process. He doesn't just start day one when he comes back, right? You have a lot of faith in Yu Darvish just being ready to go.
Well, I mean, if there's one guy, if there's one guy on the planet that says...
I think it can be a minimal amount of you know, time for Yu Darvish, but it's not no time at all. There has to be some sort of ramp up against live pitching, like, you know, live major league hitters or at least minor league hitters. Something has to happen.
If he tells you on September 27th,
you're ready to pitch him September 28th.
Here's the ball. Like, let's see what you got. You know what I mean? Like, I trust Yu Darvish, 14, 15, 16 years veteran in this league, guy that knows his arm, takes care of his body. If he says, like, I would absolutely trust him.
I think I would, too. And again, fine.
And he's getting the ball in the playoffs.
You want to send him to Peoria to face minor leaguers? Fine. If that's going to make you feel better. But he is just kind of one of those guys.
And this is, again, just speculation. And out of respect to you, we've really avoided just idle speculation about it. I do think that because he's been seen throwing around town, he has to expect that there will be some people who comment on that, and there has to be a bit of a response, just like, okay, you know, I mean, it certainly seems like it's a possibility. Padres have never denied that it's a possibility that he could come back. They've never counted on the fact that he will come back. That's how I've kind of approached it the rest of the season as well.
Well, and Janine said in the chat that, you know, the fact that we're hearing that he's been throwing around town is getting everyone's hopes up. Yeah, absolutely. My hopes are up. And I don't know. I don't think I'll be disappointed if he doesn't. Not in him. I'll be disappointed, but I won't be disappointed in him because I don't know what he's going through, but whatever it is, it's pretty serious. So the fact that he's out there throwing, yeah, hell yeah, it gets my hopes up. I want Yu Darvish back. I think Yu Darvish would help.
Bro, seeing Tatis running on the field yesterday.
Yeah, that gets your hopes up.
And getting the updates that they're loosening up the timetable for his return.
Right.
I start thinking about that, and I think about getting a healthy, rested Yu Darvish possibly in September, and I go, oh, it's happening. I'm getting excited.
So Satan's Blowfish says, a player who doesn't meet said criteria, wait. It's not a clean add to the roster. There are other stipulations. Player who doesn't meet said criteria for postseason eligibility can still be added via petition to the commissioner's office. If the player was in the organization on August 31st and was replacing someone who was on the injured list and served the minimum amount of time required for activation, if there's no one injured for an appropriate amount of time, they still can't add him.
Stephen Woods reads stereo instructions.
This is 753
crazy.
Unless he's back by August 31st. Oh, boy.
All right. But you can petition. Is there a precedent for whether they usually say yes or no on those petitions?
Is it an
actual petition? Do we need to be signing things at Petco Park to bring Yu Darvish back?
No, I just think...
A campaign going on change.org?
Yeah. I would love that news to break.
And again, I've seen people upset, like, you shouldn't be doing this in public and getting people's hopes up. He can't go do it at Petco Park. I mean, you know, it's hard. He's Yu Darvish. You're going to notice a 6'5" Japanese man throwing off a mound somewhere. He's not really going to be able to hide it if he wants to throw and he's in San Diego. So what do you want the man to do? He's very recognizable. He's very distinctive when he goes out there. There's no mistaking. Could that be Yu Darvish out there? It might be. It might not be. No, it's obvious. Everybody recognizes Yu Darvish.
He's wearing Padres shorts. He's on a mound at some high school. He's throwing about 14 different pitches. Yeah.
Could be. Could just be a guy who looks a lot like Yu Darvish. No, it's Yu Darvish if you see him out there. So
great to
have. You have Mini Darvish.
It'd be great. Mini Darvish is fantastic. But it'd be great to have him back. But I'm not counting on it. You know.
All right, we'll come back. Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue will join us for their regular Friday segment. More baseball talk on the way. Managers report in just over an hour. It's Bennett Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.